Hey, y'all.
My name is Lisa, and I am a redeemed, restored daughter of the one true King. And considering this is the fourth time I'm attempting to write this, I'd say I'm in recovery for control, with a lot of perfectionism spilling out of the cracks. Hey, y'all. And you know what they say, the fourth time's a charm. I was adopted and raised in a loving Christian home, with the opportunity to attend private Christian schools and the benefit of having both my parents actively involved in my life. I played some sports, which I wasn't very good at, but my dad was the coach, so yay nepotism. And actually, I sat on the bench quite a bit because he was quite competitive. I sang in the choir, I acted in theater, I graduated in the top 10 of my class of 18 graduates. Yeah, let it sink in. I was on youth staff at my home church and even went on a mission trip once where I broke three of my toes on the second day and had to come home early. By looking at my life, you might have thought I had it all. However, the enemy had twisted the truth that I was adopted into I was unwanted and rejected. I believed that I wasn't my birth family's first choice and that I was plan B for my adoptive family. He used this to wage a war for my life. I desperately feared being rejected and abandoned at every turn, which left me feeling like a live wire, never grounded, never safe. My only safety was found in what I could control. It started with controlling other people's perception of me, which turned me into a people pleaser extraordinaire, a master at disguise and manipulation. I trusted no one, but found my value and worth in everyone's approval. I controlled every relationship I ever had by becoming what you wanted or expected me to be. I was like a Burger King burger, and you could have me your way. At the age of 7, many of my peers were being baptized. Since I didn't want to be left behind, I lied to my mother and told her that I wanted to accept Jesus into my heart. In truth, I never wanted a relationship with God. I viewed him as a liar for saying that he loved his son so much but sent him away to die, and a coward for not doing it himself. I felt sorry for Jesus. I cried for Jesus, and I related to Jesus as a child who was rejected and abandoned, and I just couldn't see past that to see the truth. As my life continued to spiral out of control on the inside, the insatiable need to control everything on the outside intensified. Treacherously woven patterns of alcoholism, lying, stealing, disordered eating and sex engulfed me as I grasped for worth in the world. After multiple adulterous affairs, a DWI, a forgery conviction, and an inevitable divorce, the masks I wore and the lies I told to gain approval became my truth. This is who I was. This was my identity. I still attended church, served, sang the songs, and faked a relationship with God. And even I believed the lie that I was a Christian, and I would have been shocked had I died and landed at the gates of hell. Here's the awesome part, y'all. But God. On the last night that I was ever drunk, in November of 2016, my husband announced that he wanted a divorce because he had discovered years' worth of lies and affairs that I desperately tried to keep hidden. As I laid in my bed that night, staring at the ceiling fan, I found myself crying out to God for the first time in my life. Why? Why am I here again? Why do I keep doing the same things over and over? And as clear as day, as drunk as I was, I heard God say, "You need to pray about your salvation." 3 days later, while I was sitting in church, the pastor said something that made me start sweating immediately and made my heart pound in my chest. He said, "Once you're adopted into the family of God, it cannot be undone." At those words, I remember sighing in relief. Then he said, "But if sin and practicing lawlessness isn't the exception, but the rule in your life, you might want to check to see if you're in relationship with him in the first place." That's when everyone else in the room disappeared and God spoke directly to me. The Lord brought to mind his caution about my salvation once again, and reminded me of the lie I told to my mother when I was 7. My eyes were opened to truth in a single instant. Later that day, I knelt and humbly asked God to save me, change me, and take control of my wretched life. I was alive, y'all. I didn't know what to do next, but I knew that I needed help and that regeneration was on Mondays. The next day, fearful but desperate, I walked through these doors. When I saw my friend walk onto this stage to share her story, my anxiety and fear subsided. Later, when I hugged her neck, she reminded me that I had encouraged her to attend regeneration. I realized then that everything that had happened up to that very moment had been perfectly planned by my perfect Savior, who loves me and had been pursuing me for 34 years. Okay, God, I get it. This is real, and I see your hand. I'm all in. I'm all yours. That night, I committed to fearlessly walking through this program. Through Regen, God showed me areas where I was still willing to give up control. In step 4, inventory, where I left no stone unturned, I wrote down every event that happened in my life. Through step 5, confession, I confessed to 6 women the exact nature of my sins. One precious friend and warrior helped me see that anger was at the root of almost each and every act. She helped me connect the dots between the anger, my control, and my feelings about my adoption. It blew the doors wide open. In step 9, amends, the Lord prompted me to confess and share my entire inventory with my husband. I didn't want to. I hadn't been honest with him about my past. I tried to justify not telling him, but the Lord continually met me with, "When are you going to trust me fully?" I was terrified, but I was more terrified of not being obedient than of the earthly consequences I was sure would follow. So I confessed it all and became fully known for the first time in my entire life. It was equally the most frightening step of faith and the most liberating step of obedience I'd ever taken. Through the sanctifying journey of regeneration, as God continued to change my heart and strip away the things I clung to for comfort and worth, he also gently prepared me for what was to come. From the day I turned my life over to Christ, I began fighting for my marriage. Did you hear that? I fought for my marriage. It wasn't until the day that I became fully known that I realized I was still playing a tug of war with God over control. Exodus 14:14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be silent." In some translations, it says, "Be calm," in others, "Be still." In other words, Lisa, shut up. That verse had been on the forefront of my mind for months, and I still didn't fully understand it. I was still trying to control the outcome I wanted. Once the Lord helped me see my sin in that, I stopped fighting. I stopped striving to prove and defend myself to my husband. I gave over the last 2% I had been frantically holding on to and repented of my desire to control. I literally had nothing left to cling to, and I once again felt like a live wire. Except this time, I knew I was safe and secure with my Jesus, so I hung on. My husband filed for divorce, and at the end of 2017, it became final. I believe that God can restore my marriage, and as he continues teaching me to trust fully in his heart even when I can't see his plan, I'm learning that my hope and security don't come from any relationship except for the one with God. Only because of Christ can I stand before you today able to share my joy that can only come from him. Only because of Christ do I know who I am. I am the King's daughter, a daughter who puts on his armor every day. So basically, that makes me a warrior princess. Through my recovery, I've learned what remaining and abiding with Christ means. Most days, I follow hard after him and consider him in every decision I make. I don't always make the right choice, but my desire is to please him. I'm quick to confess, but I'm still learning what true repentance is and how to walk that out when I choose to go my own way. I have a village of godly warriors in my life who love me, point me to Christ, and admonish me well. And I need it, y'all, because I can so quickly forget that I'm not who I used to be. My worth and my value are in him, not from the things I used to do or the person I used to be. I never understood what having a new life meant until I actually got a new life. He's changed everything, and I mean everything, y'all. So, If you're sitting there believing the things you've done are too bad, too dirty, too horrible for God to forgive, or maybe you're on the flip side thinking that you're a good person and you really don't need any of this, well, either way, we call that pride, hashtag welcome to Region. You are not alone, and it is not a mistake that you are sitting in that chair, in this room, in this building. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Y'all, I want you to hear and believe that there is nothing too dirty that my God can't make worthy. And I am living proof that God still raises people from the dead. My name is Lisa, and I am a redeemed, restored daughter of the one true King, and I'm in recovery for control. To God and God alone be all the glory.